Okay, well, good morning, everybody. I know you've already seen me, but I didn't tell you who I am. My name's Matt, and I'll add my welcome to Claire's earlier. It's great to see everybody here this morning, especially here at Home for Christmas, the student population here amongst us. It's great to have you back for Christmas. I love to worship. I love to be a part of celebrating Christmas, especially at this time. I guess you'd expect me to be saying that on a morning like this. But I realise as well that that Christmas can be a difficult time, and not all of us feel like wearing our Santa and reindeer furry hats all of the time, or pulling crackers, or enjoying some of the fun. We know that actually it's true. We've mentioned some people this morning, but Christmas can be a difficult time with pressures, either financial or relational, family strains and stresses. And so this morning, in these next few moments, as I'm speaking, I'm not here to serve up a dollop of Christmas hype with roasted parsnips on the side, but hopefully, in these moments, I can share something that brings us together with hope and purpose. And I don't know about you, but I'm already excited about the things that we've heard. People have shared this morning. People have said some pretty encouraging things as we've read the Bible, as John did his little dramatic piece, which I love, John. Thank you for that. Then hopefully that this morning we go away with a sense of hope. So this morning, if you feel a bit more like you're in the Christmas pressure and the Christmas worry camp than the Christmas joy, I'm hoping in these few moments that I can give you some truth that we hold on to together and as we leave this place today. Here's something else that's true. I think you'll agree with this, that at Christmas, we don't always get everything that we want. Is that true? Is that your experience? I heard someone once wrote, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix them up like you did last year." And thinking about what everyone wants this Christmas, I was in a meeting this week, and some of the guys in this meeting were talking about the things that are on top of the wants for Christmas list. And I understand, I don't know if this is true, I can't verify it, but I understand that this year one of the top gifts, once again, is Lego. Apparently that's the case, it's Lego. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, on Christmas morning, there aren't many things to wake up to unwrap than a box of Lego. Is everyone else with me on that? Yes, there's a few people who would agree with that fact. And I don't know if this is true, but I understand that after we've had Christmas this year, that in the same fact about the plastic flamingos in America, I understand that on this planet there will be more Lego people than there will be real human beings after this Christmas. Apparently that's the case. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was an interesting point. So this morning, for a few moments, I needed three visual aids to help me bring this message to you. And I thought, therefore, to acknowledge and recognise the importance of Lego in our world, I spoke to one of my friends who is a Lego creation expert. And so in a few moments, as I'm talking, we'll have the visual aids. You'll get them on the screen, but also we'll have them right here embodied in Lego form, okay? So watch out for that. Now, if I asked you for your favourite image of Christmas, or I ask a number of people what they would say, I don't know about you, but perhaps some people it's a fat robin on the front of a Christmas card. For some people it might be a Father Christmas. But if we ask for a more profound image of Christmas, I guess most people would say the nativity scene. And of course, that's an important part of the story. But if we want to understand the miracle of Christmas, is what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning, then we have to go back a bit further than the nativity. And Katie read it for us this morning. Actually, we have to go further than the nativity. We have to go back to where Jesus is the eternal King reigning in heaven. And so the first visual aid this morning, My message is a throne. So here's the Lego version of the throne. There you go.
Oh, can I show it?
Yes, please. If you could hold it there for the next 20 minutes, that would be great. No, I'm only joking. So let's listen to what the Apostle John, Katie read it for us brilliantly this morning, says at the beginning of his account. In the beginning, the Word, who is Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. It's true, it's right. Believe it or not, it's true. These famous words from the Bible tell us several things about who Jesus was and who Jesus is. First of all, tells us he was eternal, says in the beginning. Tells us that he was God and he was with God. Tells us that he was the creator. Nothing and no one was created except through Jesus Christ. Tells us he was the giver of light and life to everyone. And finally, the very powerful phrase that Jesus was and is the Word of God. That means that God speaks to and reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus was there right at the very start. Everything was created by him and through him in this position of authority on the throne in heaven. In summary, if you want to know what God is like, then look no further than Jesus Christ. The rock star Bono was asked, Christ has his rank among the world's greatest thinkers, but isn't Son of God a bit far-fetched? Bono replied, it isn't far-fetched to me. Look, the secular response to the Christmas story goes like this. He was a great prophet, obviously a very interesting guy. But actually, Bono says, Christ doesn't allow you that. He doesn't let you off that hook. Christ says, I am God incarnate, which just means God in human form. Bono continues, so what you're left with is either Christ was who he said he was, or he was a complete nutcase. Now the idea that the course of civilization for over half the globe could have had its fate changed and turned upside down by a nutcase, for me, that's far-fetched. And that's what Bono said. Great, claps in preachers, love it. So why is this important? Well, if Jesus was and is God, then ultimately we owe our very life and existence to him. He's therefore not one of a number of alternatives that we can pick off the spiritual shelf. He alone has the answers to humanity's needs. But he also knows the purpose and plan for yours and my life. That is good news. So the first visual aid is the throne, Jesus as the eternal king. But of course, Jesus didn't stay in heaven on the throne. Jesus came from the throne to a manger. And that's the second powerful symbol of Christmas. Sometimes Lego is very fragile, isn't it? Just like us. Hold tight. Someone said this, the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. The amazing message of Christmas is this, the eternal king entered human history and became one of us. Listen to how John puts it in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Christmas tells us this. Christ became man, touchable, knowable, vulnerable, like us. The King of Kings had a human birth, was laid in a manger. He wasn't a super baby. He was like us. Mary still had to change Jesus' nappy. That's the truth. He was like us. But But of course, the story doesn't end there. He doesn't stay as a baby. He grows up. He gets out of the manger. The age of 30 is filled with the Holy Spirit. And for the most incredible 3.5 years in human history, Jesus goes around the earth filled with the Spirit and showing what life is like when God is in charge and just how good God really is. So wherever there's sickness, Jesus heals people. Wherever there's oppression, he sets people free. Wherever there is lack and need, he provides. Wherever there is injustice, he brings righteousness. Wherever there is strife, he brings peace. If you want to know how good God is, look at the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to show us what God was like. But he did more than that. He also came to show us how to get back into a relationship with God. I heard a story about a farmer who didn't believe in the Christmas message. He thought the idea that God could become a man was absurd. It's all nonsense. Why would God lower himself to become a human being like us? Such a ridiculous story. One snowy Christmas day, there was a blinding snowstorm. He looked outside his window to see a whole flock of migrating geese who had either been disorientated by the storm or had been stranded on his farm, unable to fly or see their way. The farmer really wanted to help them and realized that his barn would give them shelter for the night. So he opened the barn door and stood back, hoping that they would make their way in. But the geese didn't realize that it would be shelter for them, so he tried to shoo the geese in, but they ran in all directions. Nothing he could do would get them into the warmth and shelter of the barn. Feeling totally frustrated, he said, "Why won't they follow me? How can I save them?" Then he realized that they wouldn't follow a human being. So he thought, if I become a goose like them, then I could save them. And at that moment, he realized what he just said. And for the first time, he understood the true meaning of Christmas and what God had done. In Christ, God had become like us so he could save us. I like that. You see, at Christmas, God really did come in Christ, a human being, just like us. And therefore, he understands what it is to be human. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to be lonely, to be misunderstood and rejected. And he knew what it was like to grieve. He's not a distant God removed from human suffering. He's not a God who's standing by, watching the pain of families who are suffering. He's a God who understands, who empathizes, who cares, because he became a human being. The great news of Christmas is that, yes, God is God, but he is not an uninvolved, disconnected, uninterested God. He's come down into the mire and mess of human existence to show us a better way. He's come to show us how good God is, but he's also come to open the barn door of his home so that we can come into the shelter, safety, and significance of a relationship that starts now and lasts for all eternity. This is great news. Every single one of us can know God. Every single one of us can miraculously have a connection with God. The God who has a plan for my life. The God who has a plan for your life. And even today, even this morning, we can have an encounter with him. Believe it or not. I found this quote. US astronaut James Irwin, on his return to Earth, after standing on the moon, said, "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood upon this earth." But not only does the miracle of Christmas not start with the manger, of course, it also doesn't finish with the manger. Jesus does grow up, and strangely and wonderfully, Jesus didn't just come to be born, but also to die. So the final visual aid, of course, is the powerful image of the cross. It's a pretty impressive cross. John hints at the cross, even in this first chapter of what we read earlier, verse 10 and 11. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. If you follow the story through, many of us know that this rejection ends up with Jesus being killed on the cross. But amazingly, this ultimate rejection of humanity against its creator was somehow part of God's master plan. The cross wasn't a place of defeat. It was a place of victory. Because at the cross, Christ came to deal with all of humanity's sin, pain, suffering, and injustice. He took it upon himself. Died, the glorious King of Heaven died in ultimate shame on a cruel cross. Wonderful news for us today. And just a couple of chapters later, John makes it even more explicit. Perhaps the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Gave him to be born in a manger, gave him to die on a cross. So that everyone," notice how inclusive it is, "everyone who believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life." But the story doesn't end there either. The story doesn't end there because of course he rose again. And then 40 days after that, he went back to the throne. The Christmas story is the most important, about the most important person in history, Jesus Christ. From the throne to the manger, from the manger to the cross, from the cross back to the throne. The miracle of Christmas. But you could argue that actually this miracle comes in two parts. And the second part of the miracle involves us. It's true that we can be aware of the throne to the manger to the cross to the throne. But actually, the message of Jesus invites us, as we know, to be involved. And we think these days that possibly over 1 billion people on the planet have taken hold of this second miracle. Read it in, Casey read it in verse 12. It says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Christmas, a true story, but not just a story. Many people have the wrong idea of what a Christian is. We're born in a Christian country. Perhaps it's to do with attending church, saying prayers, wearing sandals in winter. The simplest definition of what a Christian is a Christian is a child of God. A Christian is someone who knows Christ as Father. So if the first miracle of Christmas is Jesus with us, the second miracle of Christmas is a transformed life. Believing and receiving lead to a transformed life. And I guess like me, you don't want to miss out on the second miracle of Christmas. In fact, it's not really just about Christmas, is it? The second miracle, that we can have a transformed life and be aware that we are children of God. And this morning, as we finish, I wanted you to hear a story of a transformed life. Because this time last year, there were some people who weren't part of Ashwood Church, but 12 months on, there are people here who have found out what it means to have a transformed life. And so I want to introduce you, many of you will know her, but some of you will never have met Kate before. And I've asked Kate for just to come and tell us what it means for her to have a transformed life. So could you just welcome Kate?
Yeah, you know. Oh, I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous, it's great.
I'll put these
go for it.
Morning. Right, bear with me. Sorry, darling. Matt asked me to come up and tell you a bit about, some of you know, obviously, because I've been baptised, which was great this year, but just to tell you a little bit of how my life has been transformed by God. I just said to Matt, I'll just come up and say something. because I never had anything really in mind to say, apart from I was in bed last night and I thought, how has God transformed me? Then it came to me and I could not believe it. So I've bought some coats, which you will sort of understand as we go along what they're all about. Basically, I never went to church. I came to be a teenager, fell into the wrong crowd, and didn't get involved in trouble, but the people that I was with weren't good for me. I turned into a person that I didn't know. So if you just hold that. If I just put these layers on and just tell you how 16 years of my life was. This represents hurt. We'll get there.
Keep going, you're doing good.
Anger. I'm going to get really hot in a minute. Being sad. Unhappy.
I'm nearly there.
Tearful. And angry again. So for 16 years, this was me. And as you can imagine, carrying this all around made me into a very angry person because I didn't know how to get rid of it, and I didn't probably realise at the time that I was carrying all of this. So it came to about 3 years ago, and I heard a voice telling me to go to church. Never around people that went to church, so I found it a little bit alien. And then I moved to Kirkby in Ashfield about four years ago, and the urge to go to church got stronger and stronger and stronger. In April, I came here on like an open day, a fun day, met with Janet, came to church, expected a load of Doc Cottons to be here. Didn't think it was that type of thing for me. I came the following week just to see if I really did like it, and something amazing happened to me. You was all singing. I didn't know the words, and I felt amazing, and I cried, and I cannot explain to you what type of feeling it was, but I felt warm all inside. Now, Matt has asked me how God has transformed me. So here we go. This is what all the coats are all about. If you think to yourself, I went to go and see a shrink to try and deal with everything that's happened. I went once, I cried for a week, and never went back. But shall I tell you what? And now I know what God has done for me. This, without me even knowing, God has transformed me. I've asked Him to help me. Without me knowing, all of this has come off.
Yeah.
I now feel great, and I've turned into most, I think, caring, kind person, considerate, because of God and everybody else that's all in church. And that has happened since April without even seeing a shrink. It's God that's helped me.
Brilliant.
That's how I've been transformed.
That's brilliant. Thank you. That is brilliant. Thank you, Kate. That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah, go. Yeah, yeah. Unless you've got anything else. See, that's the power of God. And actually, you may have heard the nativity story 100 times, but if we're not careful, we can miss the truth that there is a miracle about Christmas, but we have to receive the second miracle. It involves our involvement. Those verses there say that those who believe and receive Jesus gives the power to become the children of God. And this morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're swamped in Christmas stuff. Maybe you're swamped in bigger life stuff. But this morning, the truth is, believe it or not, that God has the power to enter into your life, not just at Christmas, but to change your life that starts now and through all of eternity. And I wanted Kate to share her story because it's true. And it's a great story. And it's a miracle because her life is transformed. Did you hear the things that she has taken off that she no longer has on? And we're all grateful for the medical professional help that we get. But don't you just love it that actually when Jesus is involved in our lives, he often takes the place of doctor and psychiatrist. I wonder if we could just perhaps close our eyes for a moment and take a moment to respond where you're at this morning. I'm aware that some people in this room may even need to be thinking about saying, actually, today, this morning, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Kate's story is not the only story in this room. There's many people here with transformed lives because of what God has done over many, many years. And the reason that we're part of this amazing thing called church is because we have found what it means to have a relationship with God that starts now, that goes on forever and ever and ever. That's good news. That's amazing truth. And I wonder this morning if as we sit with our eyes closed, I wonder this morning, one of the things that I always think is important is that we have the opportunity to respond to God. And so perhaps as you've joined in with the singing this morning, perhaps as you've heard the word of God, perhaps as you've heard Kate's story, either you're hearing for the first time or you're reminded for a number of times that actually Jesus didn't just come to bring hope to the world. It's amazing that God could love the whole world, isn't it? But the truth is the whole world also includes you as a person, as an individual. There couldn't be a better thing to do, actually, to give ourselves to make that choice to receive Jesus into our lives. That second miracle, that we receive the fact that we are children of God. This morning, if you want to say that for the first time, or perhaps you've been recognizing that where you're at this morning, you need to remind yourself that you are a child of God. I wonder if just with our eyes closed together, just as a sign before us and God, you know, it's good to make a physical response to what God is doing in our lives. I wonder if we could just, with all our eyes closed, just perhaps just acknowledge before God that that's something that we're doing this morning. If you want to do that, perhaps you just raise your hand and just say, yeah, that's me this morning. That's great. Power of a transformed life.